Mike Figubin, hello, my friend, and welcome again to a few moments of Bible study together as we look into the truth of God's Word and the facts that often mold, shape, form, and make us to be what we are. And are those facts true? Are they deceptive lies from our enemy, Satan, who hates us and desires to destroy our lives and to keep us from being all that the eternal God would have us to be? This is Bob Griggs, and we welcome you to the Bread of Life broadcast. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he is, beloved, and he will give that which will satisfy the emptiness of your spirit and make your life to overflowing. If you do not know him as Savior, he, beloved, will meet the need of your life and can lead you into a life of richness, a life of abundance, a life of wonderful blessing beyond anything that you might have imagined. If you're willing to open your heart to him, to receive him as your Savior, and to walk in obedience to his word. Remember, the eternal God created man in his likeness and in his image. As God is triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so he created man with a spirit, a soul, and a body, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And our real identity comes not from the soul, that is, the mind, the emotions, and the will. That's not our identity. Now, Satan would try to make us think that's where our identity comes from. And that's the part of us that the psychologist deals with. But, beloved, the real identity comes from our spirit. That's the area where Almighty God deals with man, and that's where our true identity originates. We're either under the control of sin, separated from God, dead in trespasses and in sin, or we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, who did the work of salvation, John 3:6 tells us, and who has come to live in and indwell our spirit, and to make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And these are truths, beloved, that you and I can only know and understand as we get into the Word of God, as we become hearers of the Word of God and doers of the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, I believe it is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And, beloved, the truth is what liberates us. Knowing the truth is what delivers us from the lies that Satan seeks to program into our mind and into our thinking. Now, we've been talking about rejection. And rejection has to do with our emotions. It impacts our emotions. And, beloved, what we feel is not who we really are, but that is what impacts our actions many times, and our attitudes, and the way that we conduct ourselves because of the programming that we've received from the old sin nature. And thus we've been talking about rejection, overt, obvious, open rejection, and covert rejection, which is subtle or hidden rejection. Rejection that comes into the life of an individual from being overly protected, from the premature death of a parent, from being the wrong sex, the parents wanted a boy and got a girl, from being a change of life baby that upset the whole household, from a broken home where a father or mother have left, and we have to grow up without a complete home, and thus are programmed by feeling that somehow it's our fault, and we're to blame, and feeling rejected. The suicide of a parent has a tremendous impact upon the life of a child. Death in childbirth can cause an individual to feel like it's their fault, especially if the parent happens in a time of frustration to say, if it hadn't been for you, my wife or my husband wouldn't have died. That's a terrible burden to lay upon a child, but many times that is done, and it's false, it's untrue, but it programs us with rejection to feel like it's our fault. Bad comparison with siblings, where a child is compared to another child in the family, and we're put down because of the other child being so much superior or better, it appears, in their schoolwork, or in their behavior, in their conduct, in their temperament makeup, and thus we are rejected. And then handicaps is another thing that can cause rejection and cause a person to feel rejected. I remember very well that I had crossed eyes as a child. My eyes were crossed so that I would see two of everything. Because of that, I had to figure out which door to go through. When somebody threw a ball, I had to figure out which ball to catch because I'd see two of everything. And therefore, I couldn't participate in sports. I couldn't be involved in games that other kids played because I was handicapped. I had difficulty in studying in school. I had difficulty in reading. All of these things hindered and caused me to feel left out, caused me to feel like that I was different from the other kids, and I couldn't measure up to their standard. And thus, it created all kinds of emotional problems in me and feelings that were not true, but nevertheless, feelings that seemed real in my life. Rejection affects interpersonal relationship. It affects our attitudes and reactions toward our parents. It affects our attitudes and reactions toward when we get married, toward our mate and the kind of person that we may marry. It can affect our children and cause us to respond to them in the ways that we feel, not the way that they are. But upon our emotions and our feelings of rejection, we can program them. And it can affect our relationship and our attitudes to other people. And thus, rejection can really create a lot of problems in the life of an individual. Also, conditional-based love is another covert form of rejection where a child is accepted on the basis of their behavior. And if they do not behave correctly, then they are scorned and looked down upon and pushed aside and not accepted, and thus feelings of worthlessness because of their behavior. Also, appearance. Many times a child is judged by their appearance, and a child that is attractive, when you're checking out at a checkout counter, for instance, you see a child that is cute, a child that's attractive, and you pay attention to that child, and you speak to that child, and you notice that child. But a child that's kind of ugly and has a runny nose and has tousled hair and a dirty face, why, you scorn that child, you reject that child, you push that child away. You see, these are things that impact our lives, and cause that child to feel like that he doesn't measure up and he's not as good as the child that's attractive and the child that's pretty and the child that's handsome looking. And so conditional-based love impacts our reactions and our attitudes and causes rejection to those that are not accepted. And if we do are handsome, are good-looking, then we feel accepted, and we feel acceptance. And thus, in the family, if one child is a beautiful, attractive child, another one is just kind of normal or not as attractive, why then the one that's attractive may get all of the attention. And this has to do with acceptance and rejection. And so this thing of acceptance and rejection can have a real impact upon the life of an individual and can impact the way that an individual is received. Remember, rejection and acceptance. Reject means to refuse, to have, to take, to refuse to act upon, to refuse to accept as a person, to rebuff, to cast out or eject. While acceptance means to take or receive something offered, to respond or answer positively, to regard as normal and suitable as usual. And we all long for acceptance, beloved. God created us with a need for love, and we all long to be loved. And we often call love acceptance. And that's why many young people will go along with things that they know are wrong and they shouldn't be involved in because they want to be accepted. That's how gangs began, because of kids that are rejected, kids that are not accepted, and so they are accepted by the gang. And they will do things, even robbing stores and shooting drugs and getting involved in alcohol and various different things that are harmful in order to try to gain acceptance and to be accepted. This thing of rejection has impacted all of our lives in so many ways, and thus it affects our lives, our actions, our attitudes, and our conduct. And it's wrong, beloved. It's not who we are. It's who we think we are. It's who we're programmed that we are. We're programmed that we do not measure up. But it's a lie. It's a deception. It's false, and that is not true who we are. Until next time, goodbye.